All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy. All coming up right here on 720 WGN. And also, we're going to talk about the movie side of the Golden Globes and talk about the Golden Globes in general in a little bit. But the TV side of the Golden Globes, we are going to discuss with our friend Dan Feinberg. Normally, he's with us on Thursday mornings, but since they announced the Golden Globe nominations on Thursday morning, he was kind enough to join us on Friday so that we can discuss that. Dan Feinberg is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And let's bring Dan in. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good. Happy Golden Globes Day.
Yeah. I find the Golden Globes to just be frustrating and dumb sometimes.
And there went our analysis of them right there. I think that pretty much covers everything.
Well, we're going to go through the nominations. We'll go through all the TV. I'm going to do the movie nominations in a little bit. But we'll go through TV with you. Now, you wrote about it overall. Before we get to announcing the nominations, you did write about the Golden Globe TV oddities. Let's go through that first, and then we'll go through the nominations.
Sure. No. Ultimately, there was a certain amount of nitpicking I was doing. These nominations are okay. They've got some silly stuff, but as I led my piece that I wrote yesterday morning at like 5 a.m. or something, we're still attempting to parse and find deeper meaning in a random group of 91 foreign journalists who think that the Kominsky Method is a better TV show than Atlanta. And at the end of the day, there's only really so far you can dig once you start with that as your initial premise.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's really true. I mean, the fact that Atlanta didn't get nominated and that The Handmaid's Tale didn't get nominated either were both big surprises and disappointments on my end.
I think I understood to some degree, I don't know, the Handmaid's Tale thing is, okay, there were a lot, and we'll get to this when we go category by category, there were a lot of new dramas they had to make room for, and it is the Golden Globes, and they are a distracted by the shiny and new organization, and let's just say maybe some of them were disappointed by how The Handmaid's Tale season ended, or much more realistically, let's just say that Handmaid's Tale ended a few months ago, and therefore they simply forgot about it, except that at least they remembered Devon Strahovski and Elizabeth Moss, so that's something. And as for Atlanta, I can kind of accept the theory that that in a world of kind of blurring genre lines, people are finding it harder and harder to look at comedies that don't make them laugh as being as successful as comedies that do. And if, for whatever reason, Golden Globe voters felt like the reassuring Chuck Lorre rhythms of the Kominsky Method, among other things that beat Atlanta for a comedy series, was just funnier than Atlanta, it's one of those subjective things where I can't necessarily tell them that they're wrong, except that they're wrong. So that's kind of how I have to look at it. Otherwise, what you going to do?
Well, what are some of the other observations that you made about the nominations?
I find it vaguely fascinating that that The Americans finally got a drama series nomination in its sixth season, which simply doesn't happen. This is a show that Golden Globe voters have never had any interest in for whatever reason. And the two stars had been nominated 2 years ago, but then they weren't nominated last year, so it kind of looked like the show fell off the map. And then suddenly this year, both stars and series were nominated. That was a little strange. I find it positive and reassuring that The Good Place has kind of is building up a little bit of awards momentum between the Golden Globes and the Emmys. It's beginning to kind of cement its position there. So it got two nominations. That was nice. And if it hadn't gotten two nominations, the only two nominations broadcast television in its entirety would have gotten were Candace Bergen and Deborah Messing for TV shows from the 80s and 90s that are kind of still kicking around today. So that shows you how vital network television is now. If, according to the Golden Globe voters, the most award-worthy shows on broadcast television are Murphy Brown and Will and Grace in 2018, that shows that something has gone dramatically wrong in broadcast television. And I look at these nominations, and it's pretty clear that indeed broadcast television is just not in the game at all, because you can't even really look for the most part and see all that many things that were snubbed. You know, This Is Us getting no nominations is as close as it gets. And so, yes, Sterling K. Brown for sure would have been a worthy nominee, but it is qualitatively a vast wasteland on broadcast television at this point, and the broadcast networks need to decide if they care or not, and I think they've pretty much decided they don't care.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, you know, we've talked about this, you know, a lot, what's going on with the networks and what's going on with broadcast television. We've mentioned it. For me, the only really bright spot on broadcast television right now is The Good Place. That's kind of the only really outstanding piece of television that's on the networks.
It is the only thing that at this moment feels like it is competing on the same playing field as the cable stuff. So even when I, you know, want to speak about a broadcast show that I like, whether it's Superstore or several different ABC comedies, the occasional, I don't know, CBS comedy that I find amusing in fits and starts, they're not in any conversation with in terms of ambition, in terms of reach, in terms of flair, personality, you know, anything. They're just not in the same game, and it's too bad, because they are still available for everyone, and therefore they're more watched than most of the cable things that I love, but they're just not doing the same thing. And if what we're doing is talking about the best, and that's what the end of the year and awards periods are about, there's just no room for broadcast in that conversation.
Okay. Well, let's go through the nomination, shall we?
Excellent.
Okay. Actress in a TV series comedy, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Deborah Messing for Will and Grace, Candace Bergen for Murphy Brown, Kristen Bell for The Good Place, and Alison Brie for Glow. You already talked a little bit about the Deborah Messing, Candace Bergen thing. Rachel Brosnahan, is that going to be like the Emmys? It's going to be chugging along?
It feels like it, and she also, didn't she win last year as well? I feel like Maisel won last year in these categories as well. Yep. So I feel as if she's probably close to a sure thing, unless we've reached the point at which Kristen Bell finally is going to win one of these, and that might be nice. I just don't necessarily see it happening. Having Candace Bergen and Deborah Messing there is so odd, and makes the category look so backward looking, which is not really what the Golden Globes want to be about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you try to think of where they should have gone with these votes instead. And to me, a major part of how the comedy categories end up as somewhat thin as they did is that a lot of the kind of borderline shows that I might have considered as comedies, something like a Succession or a Killing Eve, if you told me that those two shows were comedies, I would have fully accepted it.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't the direction that the networks wanted to go. And that's fine. But I definitely think that, and we're going to get to this in a minute, you know, you have Sandra Oh, but not Jodie Comer getting nominated. I think that if Killing Eve had decided to go as a comedy, it would have been totally viable, and I think both of the leading actresses get in. So,
yeah.
You know, you make choices.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Actor in a TV series comedy, Jim Carrey for Kidding, Donald Glover for Atlanta, Michael Douglas for The Kaminsky Method, what Sacha Baron Cohen for Who Is America, and Bill Hader for Barry.
The thing is, you look at that Sacha Baron Cohen nomination, and I don't hate it, even though I really disliked Who Is America, because for whatever reason, this is a category that they've had trouble filling at award shows. And so that's why William H. Macy keeps being nominated in this particular category.
Right.
And so really, that's whose position he took here. It's not like he took someone else's nomination and you have to be outraged by that. You know, are there people who are on shows that we like more who didn't get nominated, who could have gotten nominated there? Well, sure, you know, someone like Zach Galifianakis for Baskets might have been a possibility. Certainly Ted Danson could have been a possibility. But what I like here is that the Globes are such a restricted look at what television encompasses, that anything that requires them to think outside of these very linear boxes that they're in, I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a show that under other circumstances would have been completely ignored, and that's in a genre that the Globes have no way of recognizing. And so Showtime decided to submit it in the comedy category. And even if I don't like the show, I like that it's a network thing. Let's see if we can figure out a way to work around the limitations of the Globes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I kind of endorse it anyway.
That makes sense. Does it feel like it's going to be haters' year because he's coming off the Emmy and everything?
It could. Look, obviously, the Globe voters love Kominsky Method.
Yeah.
And so you would not want to rule out Michael Douglas. And if Jim Carrey is attempting to push Kidding, it's a big performance.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The fact that it's not my favorite part of that show doesn't mean that I don't respect it. It's an interesting category. And then, so naturally, Sacha Baron Cohen's going to win, and I'm going to go from being admiring of having him in the field to being pissed off about it. So it's what I get.
That's it. All right. Hold on, Dan, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us, and we are analyzing the TV side of the Golden Globe nominations, which were announced yesterday morning. So Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. Get back to the conversation after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How's it going? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday morning, which means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D's show, Spies. And also coming up is are the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, the Golden Globe nominations were announced. We're going to tackle the movie side and talk a little bit in general about the history of the Golden Globes in a little while. But Dan Feinberg is with us, and he's a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. He joins us once a month, usually on Thursdays, but he's joining us on a Friday because we're discussing the Golden Globe nominations on the TV side. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And let's welcome back Dan Feinberg. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, let's get to the TV series comedy. The nominees are Kidding, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Barry, The Good Place, and The Kominsky Method. What are your thoughts here, besides, obviously, Kominsky Method taking the spot that Atlanta should have had?
Yeah, and that's really where my thoughts are, because if it's Barry, Good Place, Kidding, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Atlanta, you walk away feeling like that was a pretty good list.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kominsky Method breaks in there, that just causes me to start listing all the various shows that I might have wanted to put there instead, when really and truly there's basically one show I want to put there. And so any long list that I might give you that included, I don't know, One Day at a Time, Dear White People, Thinking Outside the Box and Going with BoJack Horseman, you know, all of those other things, really and truly there's one show that belongs there. And if it had just been replaced for Kominsky Method, you'd just go, okay, that's a pretty good look.
Yeah. And what does it look like here? Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I would imagine, correct?
It feels probably like what it's going to be, unless, again, the idea of Kominsky Method winning is a little bit disturbing to me, but what can you do? And maybe they do, in fact, love Barry more than the Emmy voters did, and the Emmy voters liked it a fair amount, but maybe they really love it, and maybe Barry's going to win everything for them. So, I don't know. But Marvelous Mrs. Maisel feels probably right.
Supporting actor in a TV series, limited series, or TV movie. Again, the supporting actor stuff where they just kind of throw everything in. Edgar Ramirez for The Assassination of Gianni Versace. I love this nomination. Kieran Culkin for Succession. because I love him in that show, and I love that show, but I particularly think he was great. Now it's nice that he got, you know, he stood out there. Alan Arkin,
keep going down the list, huh?
Alan Arkin, the Kaminsky Method, Henry Winkler for Barry, Ben Whishaw for A Very English Scandal. Okay.
The thing that upsets me here is that once you include Kieran Culkin in this category, it makes it clear that you know that Succession exists.
Right.
And then I get annoyed you didn't nominate Succession in other categories.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's where my problem comes here, because did he deserve the nomination? Yes, probably. Whether or not he would be the supporting actor in the show I would give the nomination to, maybe, maybe not, maybe Matthew McFadden instead. But still, once it's clear that you know the show, it's
right, right,
then I
right.
start getting annoyed that it didn't get a series nomination and all
right.
that. It's a reasonably good category, honestly. And, you know, the part of Kaminsky Method that I don't quibble with at all is Alan Arkin. I think he's really great. Ben Whishaw is fantastic in A Very English Scandal. He's basically a co-lead, possibly, plausibly the lead. And, you know, to me, if I had a vote, it really would be for Ben Whishaw in this category.
Okay.
And it would not surprise me at all if he were the winner. So, because he simply has the biggest and most substantive part of anyone in this category.
I've not seen A Very English Scandal, so...
It's fantastic. You should watch it. People should watch it.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. It looks like, but I mean, come on, Henry Winkler, maybe. I mean, because he's, you know, everybody loves him, and he won the Emmy.
Oh, sure. It would not surprise me at all if he won. It's a pretty good field, given the general stupidity of the catch-all supporting categories in which somehow every type of TV is boiled down to five supporting performances. These are five good supporting performances.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would include Edgar Ramirez, but I understand why he's here. But you know, this isn't bad. As for what the Golden Globes generally do in these categories, this is close to doing it right.
Okay. Supporting actress in a TV series, limited series, or TV movie: Patricia Clarkson for Sharp Objects, Penelope Cruz for The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Tandy Newton for Westworld, Alex Borstein for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and Yvonne Strahovski for The Handmaid's Tale. So that's another good category.
Yeah, but they're fairly reasonable, and really and truly, these are categories in which every year there is some ridiculous stand out like a sore thumb, like Christian Slater popping up here possibly multiple times for Mr. Robot,
yeah.
Where you just go, what?
Yeah.
And there's no performance here that makes me do that. Von Strahovski was great on Handmaid's Tale this year. Penelope Cruz is great in Assassination of Johnny Versace. Patricia Clarkson's great. Alex Borstein's great. Tandy Newton is very, very good, unquestionably. You sort of notice the lack of love for Westworld here,
yeah.
And that she's still snuck in anyway is something. But, you know, in a perfect world, might I add, like, a Sarah Snook for Succession here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then probably I could come up with a dozen other great supporting performances. Not a bad group. And whoever wins from this category is reasonably deserving. I would guess either Patricia Clarkson or Penelope Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
Actress in a TV movie or limited series: Amy Adams for Sharp Objects, Laura Dern for The Tale, Patricia Arquette for Escape at Dannemora, Connie Britton for Dirty John, and Regina King for 7 Seconds. I've not seen Dirty John. But I really like Patricia Arquette, Laura Dern, and Amy Adams.
And I assume the winner will come down to one of the three of them, and probably to Amy Adams or Patricia Clarkson. And I think Amy Adams will be difficult to beat, but Patricia Clarkson has a really, really showy performance in Escape
at
Dannemora.
Patricia Arquette. You said Clarkson.
Yeah, yeah.
Arquette.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Two different people.
Yeah.
I think she does have the right kind of part.
Yeah.
But I don't know that the Globes are the group that's going to value a character actor showy performance over a leading lady.
Right.
support performance.
Yeah, and I think right there, in some regards, you summed up the Golden Globes, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think if we were having a more complicated conversation, I think they're both great performances, and right. I don't think there's a bad winner there between the two of them.
Yeah, okay. Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
Dan Feinberg is with us, a special Friday morning appearance because the Golden Globe nominations came out on Thursday morning, and we're going category by category, and we'll talk more with Dan about that after we take a break for the news right here on 720 WGN. Hey, welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, high above downtown Chicago here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your Fly Jam requests. DJ Shagru will get them ready. And we're going to be talking in general. We're right now, though, with Dan Feinberg. We're covering the TV side of the Golden Globe nominations. I'll cover the movie side and just talk about the Golden Globes in general coming up a little bit later on. We're here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. Dan Feinberg is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And let's get back to the conversation. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, best actor in a TV movie or limited series, Benedict Cumberbatch for Patrick Melrose, Darren Criss for The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Antonio Banderas for Genius Picasso, Daniel Brühl for The Alienist, and Hugh Grant for A Very English Scandal. So where are we going on? I mean, obviously, you know, I know you're bristling over the fact that Antonio Banderas got nominated again.
It's just one of those things, and he's movie star Antonio Banderas. He was going to be nominated. I am not angry about it. I've made my peace. I think Darren Criss is probably still the favorite, but Benedict Cumberbatch and Hugh Grant are both going to be very tough competitors and tougher. I think Benedict Cumberbatch will be tougher here than he was at the Emmys. And again, people should watch A Very English Scandal. It is a great 3 hours, and the lead actors are both fantastic, and Hugh Grant is super. And if Hugh Grant couldn't get a nomination for Paddington 2, at least he got this nomination.
All right, I will definitely watch it. It wasn't really on my radar. But I will say this: I think Benedict Cumberbatch does the best work of his career in Patrick Melrose. I just think it's the best thing he's ever done. I think he's great on it.
And I'm inclined to agree. I just think that probably, as with the Emmys as well, Assassination of Gianni Versace is just going to be very, very hard to beat across the board.
All right. Limited series, that show you just mentioned, The Assassination of Gianni Versace, Sharp Objects, Escape at Dannemora, A Very English Scandal, and The Alienist. And that's probably going to go to The Assassination of Gianni Versace, correct?
It probably will, unless HBO is just making a really good push on Sharp Objects, and I think that's where the competition is. And I think that Sharp Objects is more competition for Assassination of Gianni Versace than anything was at the Emmys. Mm. So at least there is more interest here. But I think Gianni Versace probably wins. But the fun thing about the Globes, though, is when you get these entries that haven't competed in another award shows, and then you go, okay, well, maybe there is a lot of love for Sharp Objects, and I just didn't realize that Sharp Objects was a limited series that I feel like people were talking about and loving at the beginning, and then maybe fizzled out a tiny bit at the end in terms of enthusiasm, and I think that may have hurt it. Mm. I liked the end, but I understand that some people did not, and I think that might be all it takes to kind of drop it back here below.
I thought it was great, actually. I mean, I love Sharp Objects. I thought it was really, really great. I thought everybody in it was terrific. So, all right, TV actor or actress in a TV series, drama, Katrina Balfe for Outlander, Julia Roberts for Homecoming, Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale, Sandra Oh for Killing Eve, and Carrie Russell for The Americans.
Just a good category. Probably Julia Roberts wins it because it's the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
seems likely, though. You do have you do have Sandra Oh co-hosting the show.
Right.
So that would be a nice moment were she to win, and it would not be in any way an undeserving win. So I think, as we've discussed in Emmys in past seasons, the actress drama category is really and truly just where it's at these days. And so you keep getting these fields that are just wonderful and very gratifying to see. And so, yeah, if Julia Roberts wins, that's fine. She would not be my top choice in the category. Probably Sandra Oh, Elizabeth Moss, or Carrie Russell would all be my pick over her.
Yeah.
But the Golden Globes.
Exactly. All right. Actor in a TV series drama, Stephen James for Homecoming, Matthew Rhys for The Americans, Jason Bateman for Ozark, Billy Porter for Pose, and Richard Madden for Bodyguard. Where do you go with this?
Oh, it's interesting. Jason Bateman doesn't belong there. That's easy. And one of my frustrations that we didn't get to earlier is Bob Odenkirk not being nominated for Better Call Saul. That to me is just ridiculous. Stephen James to me just doesn't have as much to do as a lot of these other actors. That's the problem with a half-hour drama. We love how fast those episodes go by,
right.
But if it's really a true ensemble and there are only 10 episodes, it's kind of a thin part. Either Matthew Rhys is going to win here or else The Americans is never going to get recognition. But I think my preference would probably be Billy Porter, who's just wonderful in Pose. I think he may really and truly be more of a supporting actor in the series, but he's so good and is so deserving of recognition for how good he is that I'd probably take it wherever it could come from. But
okay.
If Richard Madden wins, it makes it more likely he gets to be James Bond, so there's that.
Okay. All right, and then the last category here, TV series drama. Homecoming, Killing Eve, Pose, The Americans, Bodyguard. Where are you going with that?
I think we're going to have to see how much love there really is for Homecoming, because I think it's possible there could be a lot of love for Homecoming. I don't see Bodyguard winning. I guess Homecoming probably is my pick. And Amazon has won for a lot of odd things in the past. They won for Transparent. They won for Mozart in the Jungle. They won for Mrs. Maisel last year. So I would guess that this is going to be a Homecoming victory.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. As you mentioned, Sandra Oh is co-hosting with Andy Samberg. What do you think of that?
I think it's an idea, and I think it's a decent idea. I think they were one of the good parts of a very bad Emmy telecast in the fall, but they really had a nice, cute dynamic. I think we know that Andy Samberg is utterly capable of hosting solo. So what Sandra Oh's presence does is it changes the energy and it changes the dynamic. And I think I like that as an idea. It will have no impact whatsoever on the show's ratings. If anything, it will turn some people off because some people are dumb. I think it's fine. I think it's worth the effort. It happens that hosts of the Golden Globes, for whatever reason, do better than hosts of other shows. Seth Meyers did well last year.
Yeah.
Some people love Ricky Gervais.
I am one of those people. I am one of those people.
And there are plenty of people who love the Tina and Amy combination when they did it. So there's actually a track record of various people doing well as Golden Globes host, which is odd because for many, many, many years, this was a show that went hostless.
Yeah.
So there's no real reason why it should be that they do better with the hosts on this show than in some others. But yeah, I'm okay with it. Are you okay?
Oh,
with
yeah.
The pairing?
I am. I think it's an interesting pairing, and I think they're going to do well, I thought it was a good idea. And it, like you said, it's a great idea, and I think they'll pull it off. I think it's going to be an entertaining show. So, all right.
I think it requires writing, and that's always a risk, is that if you have Tina and Amy, it really, yes, it requires writing, but in the moment, they can save something.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Sandra Oh, how quick she is. I think we all know she's totally capable of being funny. Just in the moment, on the fly, can she save a dying bit? Can she save a dying show?
Right.
We'll have to see.
Okay. All right, Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us, and we'll be back to talk TV in general. We covered the Golden Globes. Now we'll just jump into some stuff that Dan's been writing about for The Hollywood Reporter. Follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, and we'll get back to the conversation after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. Dan Feinberg is the TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. And we're going to talk some general TV stuff since we covered the Golden Globes TV side. Let's get back with Dan. Dan, welcome back. Okay, we obviously talked a little bit about The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel because it gets, you know, nominated for everything. Season 2, how do you feel about it?
I have watched the first 5 episodes of it, and I will definitely be watching the last 5 this weekend, and I enjoyed it. I think there are some questionable narrative decisions, but a lot of it depends on which characters you happen to be interested in or not interested in. I, for example, do not care about Midge Maisel's husband or ex-husband or what estranged husband Joel. The show does care about him and spends more time with him than I'm frankly interested in. I love the actors who play all of the parents, but I don't necessarily care all that much about what's happening with several of them and their various storylines. I care about the main core storyline. I care about watching Rachel Brosnahan and Alex Borstein, and just hearing both of those actresses deliver Amy Sherman-Palladino's dialogue, and that to me is what the show does best, and it's in fine form in the early episodes. Of the first 5 episodes, 3 are written and directed by Amy Sherman-Palladino, 1 by her husband Daniel Palladino, and 1 by Daniel co-wrote and someone else directed it, and the one that had the least connection to them is the worst of the group. And that's, at this point, predictable. I think anyone who watched Gilmore Girls or Bunheads knows that you can tell the difference between the episodes.
Yes, you can.
You can hear.
Absolutely, you can.
That's how it goes.
No question about it.
So,
all right.
I'm looking forward to watching more of it this weekend. It is, to me, such a pleasurable and pleasant show, and I hope it will be rainy and cold in Los Angeles this weekend, and I can just bundle up and watch 5 episodes of that.
There you go. All right. That sounds like a good one. All right. I'm really interested in Night Flyers. They've been advertising the heck out of it. Tell everybody about Night Flyers.
It is, the part of how they're advertising it is, it's from a novella by George R. R. Martin, and so everyone goes, ooh, Game of Thrones. But George R. R. Martin, of course, spent decades as a wildly prolific, kind of jack-of-all-trades writer, and this is a novella from a career where he was writing stories, novellas, sci-fi, fantasy, everything, throw it against the wall. And I don't know that if you didn't know his background, you would ever look and go, oh, this is the guy from Game of Thrones. Clearly, I see all of the trademarks, because it's basically a sci-fi spaceship as haunted house sci-fi. That's all it is. It's fairly generic. It's the passenger. It's the crew of a vessel flying into deep space to hopefully make first contact with an alien species. And things begin to get spooky inside the spaceship. And some of it has to do with a powerful psychic that they brought on the ship. But maybe some of it has to do with something haunted or spooky within the ship. And occasionally it works. The cast is okay. Some people will recognize Yoan Macken from NBC's summer fill-in show Night Shift. People will recognize Gretchen Mol. There are some decent supporting actors. There's just nothing specific and distinctive enough about it to make it really stand out. But on the other hand, if you like hard sci-fi and you just have been craving a TV show on a spaceship, which many people have, I understand it, and it's definitely not corny. It takes the genre seriously. It takes the material seriously. Just in an average episode of 45 minutes, there are probably 5 or 10 minutes that are something slightly different from anything you've seen before, but mostly you're watching it going, okay, I know the genre, I know the rules, I know all of the scary, dark, metallic hallways where people can start hearing voices of loved ones because on every space show, half of the characters have to have been people whose children died back on Earth who are still haunted by that. So you're going to hear little children's voices in the hallways of the scary spaceship, and that's just what it is. And if you don't have a jonesing for that, definitely the show isn't going to have anything for you. But I think that if you don't have a spaceship show right now, there it is.
Okay. All right. I was intrigued by it, but yeah. Okay, and I like space.
I don't know. Yeah, if this is the kind of thing where you enjoy sitting down and you know watching the different people in the uniforms and seeing how they're going to treat the spaceship. You know how much they're going to be able to show of the special effects, because this is a show where in the first episode or two you see tons of this vast spaceship. You see its architecture. You see all of the intricate details. And then probably by the middle, I've seen 5 episodes, there just clearly isn't budget for that. And so basically they're in rooms with metallic grating and stuff. It could be anywhere. And
yeah.
So you're like, okay, there's just not the budget for
right.
what it wants to be.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, that's Night Flyers. Okay, Dan, always a pleasure. It was fun talking Golden Globes with you. And obviously when they... hand out the statues. We'll talk about it afterwards, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Excellent. Looking forward to it, Nick.
Okay. All right, Dan. Hey, have a good Hanukkah, okay?
Thank you much. You too.
Okay, take care. See you go. Dan Feinberg, everybody, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Facebook and Twitter at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.